Something that we talk a lot about here is being called. It isn't a new concept to us, and a lot of our stories talk about different people being called through bushes, through angels, by Christ himself. For today, we have two instances of call stories, one from the book of Isaiah and the other, the Gospel of Luke. If you're a real keener, you would have downloaded the bulletin ahead of time and got to read the centering scripture, but in case you didn't, it goes like this. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." Our centering scripture, which I just read, usually sits at the top of our bulletin and doesn't really get a lot of attention through worship. It's just meant to give you a taste of what's to come. But it's a familiar one for us. From the Gospel of Luke, where Jesus calls Simon Peter, James, and John. In the brief verses that we heard, the fishermen, who would be disciples, are responding to a miracle, this great catch of fish that they could not believe, and they're responding to a call that Christ put to them to follow him. Simon Peter's response is also familiar. "Go from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." Now, going back in time to just before Isaiah became a prophet, rather than being confronted by a miracle, he was given a vision. Isaiah sees God on a throne, surrounded by six-winged angels, and then hears a voice singing the Lord's praise. And his response is again very familiar. "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips." In both cases, the holy breaks into the lives of ordinary men. And in both cases, those men feel unworthy of the experience, undeserving of the encounter, let alone worthy of being invited to follow. And the response of the holy, whether it's God or Christ, is the same in both situations. Christ sees Simon Peter's sin and tells him, "Do not be afraid." God sees Isaiah's brokenness and offers a fresh start. "Your sin has been blotted out." Forgiveness, love, companionship, these are the promises of God made to a broken people seeking wholeness. These are the promises God makes to us, to you, to me. And we are the same as Simon Peter and Isaiah. We don't feel like we're the right choices for the jobs that God is calling us to. Maybe we don't feel like we have the right gifts for what God is asking of us. But often it's deeper than that. Like our brothers from another era, we don't feel like we're good enough. More than not feeling qualified for the jobs God is calling us to, we don't even feel worthy of being asked. And each of us carries that heavy burden to varying degrees. For some of us, it just causes us to hesitate just for a moment when answering God's call, as though to say, "Are you sure you want me? I'll do it, but are you sure?" For others, there can be debilitating self-evaluation, listing the many reasons God should not call us. "Oh God, you want me to do what? Let me count the ways that I am not right for this job." And still others among us know deep down in our heart of hearts that God has no business asking us to do anything like that. It's not that we don't want to answer the call. It is that we don't feel worthy of it in the first place. And so when God calls, we're like, did you hear something? I didn't either. We get in our own way, imagining roadblocks for ourselves that would prevent us from being able to carry out what God knows we can do. And we do such a good job of convincing ourselves that we aren't worthy that we think, like Simon Peter and Isaiah, that we can convince God too. This is just as true when we move from looking at ourselves as individuals to looking at ourselves collectively as a community of faith. Churches, just like people, can be insecure about what they have to offer the wider community, what they can offer in service to God. And we, St. Paul's, are no exception. Because it's easy to look at who we are and get discouraged, to think that we couldn't possibly be the ones that God's calling. It's easy to look around at other churches, point to them and say, God, they have it together. Choose them. The point is, we don't really feel up to it. And yet, God is still calling out to us to share the word. Christ is still inviting us to follow on his way, and the Holy Spirit is still moving in, through, and around us, despite our insistence that we're not the ones that they are looking for, that they have the wrong number, that they can do better. But God is still calling. Christ is still inviting. The Spirit is still moving. For you, for me, for all of us. Now, despite all this, the fact that Christ responds to Peter in his way and God responds to Isaiah in another way, despite the promises of forgiveness, love, companionship, and the fact that the Holy persistently pursues us, we should not fool ourselves into thinking that we are perfect, blameless paragons of righteousness. Because we're not. We know we're not. We covered that already. We are all broken. Each of us carries the burden of our own sin. And if you think you're not broken, that you have no secret sin, odds are you're lying to yourself. That's a sin. And truth be told, what we've done or not done is part of who we are now. The good and the bad. And that's kind of the point. Because God isn't sifting through the good, the bad, and the ugly to find only the best of us. And throughout our stories of faith, it is rare, rare that God calls upon the best that humanity has to offer. In fact, God seems to go out of the way to find those who others wouldn't even consider. Aside from Simon Peter and Isaiah, think about some of the other people that God has called, that God has worked through in our Holy Scriptures. Think of the broken people that God has called. If you can't think of any, there's actually a really great poster. Could you move forward one, Patty? You might not be able to read it very well, but some of the people that God called are listed here. This was actually up in Pastor Sarah's office before she passed away. I love just sitting and reading it, reminding me that I am in the good company of broken people. Noah was a drunk. Elijah was suicidal. Lazarus was dead. All broken people. All called by God. You can move forward again, Patty. All of this is to say that we are broken people. That we, like everyone we share this world with, carry our own sin. But also that we, like so many before us, are loved and called by God anyway. It also means that it's okay to not be okay. And who is? I don't just mean sin here. here. I mean not being okay in the sense that we are just about to break under the weight of the grief, the stress, and the anxiety that we've been carrying with us for the last 8 months. Surely there have been times where each of us has stopped for a moment and wondered if we could handle what was coming at us. And God doesn't expect us to just shrug that off as if it were nothing. But God is offering to help us bear the load, to walk with us through our brokenness and sin, to hold us close when we are falling apart. But God isn't going to wait till we get better. God is calling us, calling you, calling me right now. Like Simon Peter, like Isaiah, like all the people we saw on that poster and so many more, God is calling not because we are the best or at our best, but because God needs us now. Because we, broken as we are who God needs now. When others tried to deny their part in God's work, God embraced them and said, "You are enough. You are enough." Their excuses didn't work. What makes you think yours will? You are enough. Let us pray. Here we are, O God. Choose us. Though we are weak, in you we find strength. When we are broken and falling apart, you make us whole. When we are lost and far off, you come seeking and find us. You embrace us and welcome us home. Here we are, O God. Choose us, and we will follow you. Amen.